I want to talk to you today about the vision of LifeGate Church for this coming year, but I also want to talk about you going all out for God, and that's my title today, going all out for God. I want 2004 to be a year that you go all out for God, that LifeGate Church goes all out for God. And I'm not talking about these walls and chairs and carpet. I'm talking about each individual right here, right today. I want to see you go all out for God in a way you've never gone out with for God before. I want us to be stirred. I want to talk to you about that. And if you'll be turning your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and be at verse 10, and I'll be there in just a few minutes, and then in about 45 minutes or so, I'll be in the book of Revelation chapter 21:9. In between that time, we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures, but I'd just like for you to look at those two with me. And while you're turning, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful place, these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. And you've called us into your purposes. And Lord, we are here to drive back darkness. We are here to drive back depravity and the things that bring people down. We're here to run a race. Lord, I pray that 2004 will be a well-run race for each one of us. That we'll find the door in 2004 that you want us to go through. And the Lord will run that race down the road you've set before us. Lord, I pray that every person here will be touched, and challenged, and encouraged. And Lord, that the things that we say today will surely show us, Lord, that we're on the right path and that we're really doing something that has an eternal value. And Father, I ask you to bless us today and be with us. Touch every heart. Stir each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, I've given a lot of thought this week to why it is that some people can just immerse themselves and just dive into the things of God and run their life's race just wide open all the time, loving God and ministering for God, and they have no problems at all. They're just going all out for God all the time. But yet, on the other hand, there are people that seem to struggle all the time. They can't quite seem to hook into what it is that God wants them to do. I talk to people every week, and they say, well, I know I need to be there. I know I need to get up. I know I need to get to church. I know I need to get my family there. But for some reason, they have ups and downs, and they can't quite take that nasty plunge, you know, and they can't quite get in there. And I've studied this week, and I've thought about it a lot, and I've come to this conclusion. The thing that I know, the reason is that I am able to go all out for God, and the people that I know that go all out for God, it's because of the belief or the lack of it that we do or do not. But it's this belief that I've come to the conclusion that we really believe that the church is the hope of the world. If you believe that the church is the hope of the world, you will go all out for God all the time and you have no problems doing it. And if you don't believe that, then you have problems. You have ups and downs. You're not sure about this and you're not sure about that. And you struggle all of your life. But see, the church is the redemptive force. It's the tool of God. It's what Jesus has built in this earth to drive back darkness out of every life, out of every home, out of every family, out of every region, out of every nation. It is the tool that Jesus says will never be stopped. Nothing can ever stop it. He says it this way. In the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Hell cannot stop the church that Jesus built. Hallelujah. Nothing will ever stop it. Hell itself cannot stop the church that Jesus built. Amen. And I'm not just talking about like it. I'm talking about the church. The whole world church. The church that's in this earth today. Amen. It is the redemptive force that drives back darkness out of every home, life, region, nation. Where would this world be if it were not for the church? It is the eternal purpose of God. Eternal purpose of God. It will never go anywhere. It will always be right here. It is the eternal purpose of God. In Ephesians, and I hope you're there, in chapter 3 and verse 10, he says this. His intent was that now, through the church, would you say that back? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the answers from God, should be made known to rulers and authorities. King James Bible says principalities and powers. In the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You cannot be in the eternal purposes of God outside of His church.
His church is His eternal purpose. I won't say that you're going to go to hell when you die if you're not in the church, but I am saying that you cannot be in the purpose that God has laid out for your life unless you are in His church. I talk to people all the time. They say, well, I can serve God at home just as well as I can. No, you can't. No, you can't. There are things that you will bring forth here in the church that you cannot bring home in the bed. It is His eternal purpose. It is what He has put on this earth to manifest His wisdom, His answers to every corner of darkness. Principalities and powers, the church announces the answers to darkness by the wisdom of God. That's why we're here. Now, that's why I can go all out for God. That's why every person that I know that does go all out for God is able to go all out for God, because they recognize that this is the eternal purpose and we're sold out to it. I am absolutely sold out to the idea that the church is the eternal purpose of God, and I am here today to try to convince you to sell out to that idea also, if you're not already. I'm here to try to sell you out on the idea and the thought and the truth that this is His eternal purpose, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be victorious. Now, we're sort of told this along the way, you know, that things are going to get darker and darker and worse and worse. That is not true. Hear me. That is not true. The truth is that things are getting better and better because of the church. In Daniel chapter 2, we're told a story about a king whose name is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had this vision, this dream. And this vision or dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was of an image. And this image had a head of gold and a chest of silver and thighs and a hip area of bronze and then legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. And as Nebuchadnezzar was interpreted Daniel told him, he says, that thing represents four empires, four kingdoms that are going to come along in succession to one another. And then he says this, and I want you to see this in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that what? Will never end. Now, I need to stop there just a second before I finish reading to make sure we understand what he's saying here. So this image was in direct succession to one another. And in the time of that fourth kingdom, that iron kingdom, which was the Roman Empire, God would set up a kingdom. A kingdom would come and be set up in the time of that fourth empire, the Roman Empire. That is when Jesus Christ came to this planet. That is when the Lord God Almighty sent His only begotten Son, and He became flesh, and He began to set up a kingdom. When that kingdom is set up, how long will it last? Forever. And then he goes on to say this in that passage. It's going to set it up, and that kingdom will be forever and never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. Not for 3.5 years, not for 7 years. It will never, ever be left to another people. Once it begins, go ahead, clap, somebody shout. You can shout all you want to. Listen, the church is here because it's its eternal purpose. And it is driving back darkness. Now it says that it will never be left to another people. It will crush. Is that what it says? It will crush those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it itself, and he emphasizes that again, what? Will endure forever. Now, you can study history just as well as I. Now, Jesus came, and he was, the prophecy says that he will be cut as a stone out of the mountain, and he will crush that kingdom and every other kingdom. It will grow and fill the whole earth. Now, what happened is that Jesus came in AD 125, right there. Go which calendar you look at. But he came. And around 410 AD, the Roman Empire was crushed. It crushed. And he says, after that kingdom is crushed, there will never be another kingdom that will ever rule this world. There will never be another empire. Every kingdom will be crushed. You can study history as well as I. How many kingdoms have ever ruled since the Roman Empire? How many worldwide kingdoms have ever ruled this world since the Roman Empire? 2,000 years ago. How many?
None.
Do you know why? Because there never will be another one. And every time one tries to, it is crushed. I don't care who you look at. I don't care which empire you try to find. You see, because this will endure forever. There will never be another kingdom that rules this world. There will never, other than the kingdom of God, it will all be crushed. Napoleon? What happened to it? What happened to his empire? It was crushed, was it not? Joseph Stalin? What happened? Crushed. Nazi Germany? Adolf Hitler? What happened? Crushed. Empire of Japan? What happened? It was crushed. Soviet Union? It's not crushed, but it bowed its knee. You see, every kingdom that's tried to rule has been crushed. And the reason that it is because of the church, in some way, form, praying, seeking God. And the kingdom of God goes on, and every evil, dark kingdom is crushed. How many of you remember General Manuel Noriega? Remember him? Here's a picture for you. You remember who he was? He was the drug lord in Panama. That's what they called him, the drug lord. Do you know where he is today? He's in a prison in Miami, Florida. But that's not what I want you to know. His kingdom came down in 1989. In 1990, two preachers, one named Brennan and one named Hernandez, sent him a Bible in his language. He responded to their generosity, writing back and saying to them, "Thank you." Well, they began corresponding, and it wasn't long that these two pastors, Brennan and Hernandez, were allowed to come and visit Noriega in prison. They spent 2 days with him, 1990. I want to read you a part of the letter that Noriega wrote to Brennan and Hernandez after their visit. This is what he says. "I can tell you with great strength and inspiration that receiving our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, guided by you, was an emotional event." Noriega received Jesus Christ. His kingdom came down. His knee bowed and his tongue confessed. And by the way, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But the story doesn't stop there. There's a lot of prison salvations. Noriega was reading his Bible, and he saw that he was supposed to be water baptized. So he began asking Hernandez and Brandon if he could be water baptized. Well, this was unprecedented. No one had ever been baptized of that notoriety who was a prisoner like that. So they began pressing the issue. They began seeking a way. Took them 2 years. But you know what happened? They brought a portable baptistry into the courthouse in Dade County, Miami, Florida, into the courtroom, filled it with water, and baptized Manuel Noriega. Read you a little bit of that event as it was recorded in 1992. "When the baptistry was filled, the deputy marshal brought General Manuel Antonio Noriega into the courtroom to be baptized, surrounded by 12 guards. Noriega, wearing civilian clothes, took off his jacket and shoes and got into the baptistry. Brandon preached on the meaning of baptism as Hernandez interpreted. Followed by a prayer and scripture reading, Brennan then baptized Noriega in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the Holy Ghost." Can you see that the church is the hope of the world? Do you see that the church really is going forth, and that every kingdom, every dark kingdom, every evil kingdom is crushed because the church is in the earth today? And darkness and depravity is being driven back. It's not getting worse, it's getting better. And this is a perfect time to be sharing with you what I'm sharing with you. In our present day, in our present time, we are witnessing this. Have we not seen this just the last couple of weeks? How about Saddam Hussein's empire? What about his kingdom? Was it crushed? Absolutely. How about Osama's? Osama bin Laden's kingdom is crushed, and his judgment is just around the corner. He's having to live in caves. We're going to get him. He'll be gotten. Because His kingdom is special. Because there will never, ever be another world empire. What I'm trying to tell you today is this thing is going to fill the whole earth. This thing is going to go forth. We're not getting worse. It's getting better. And it's getting better because of His church. His church is the hope of the world. It will fill this whole earth. And that's what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. He says, "The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So the point is, what I'm trying to tell you is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church that Jesus built, will drive back hell. It drives back darkness into every crack and corner. Wherever it tries to hide, it finds it and it crushes it. Because the kingdom of God is constantly advancing. It's not getting worse, it's getting better. You just have to program yourself to see it and see what God is really doing in the earth today. See, the kingdom of God is brought to earth through the church, and it manifests the wisdom of God, the answers of God to this entire world. That's what LifeGate Church is about. LifeGate Church is here for a reason. LifeGate Church is here to drive back darkness in this region. It's here to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And how answers can be given to every situation that ever comes along. In His kingdom is the wisdom of God. And that's what we're here to do. And to touch every family. To touch every home. To touch every region. And we're going to do it by any means we possibly can. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Is that what the Scriptures say? We are to take what the world kingdoms use and take them and redeem them. Jesus says, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost," not just who. We're to take it and use it for redemptive purposes. And we use media, we use singing, we use preaching, we use drama, we use anything, we use barbecue, we use anything we can possibly use. Because the church is here eternally. It is His purpose. And if we're going to go all out for God, then we've got to take every avenue that we possibly can and use them for redemptive purposes. I want to ask you a question before I go any further. How many of you really believe that through God working through LifeGate Church, your life has been dramatically altered and bettered? Would you raise your hand? Would you give the Lord a hand shout, clap, and a shout? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's what we're here to do. We're here to make a difference. We're here to occupy. But it doesn't stop in this room. I don't know how many. We're ministering to, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but we're ministering to thousands of people on the internet. I don't know how many people see the television program. I don't go anywhere without someone telling me, "I enjoy your radio spot." You see, we really are doing this. This is really happening. And God wants to you and I to know today some good things. I showed you last week all the things that we did last year or tried to in 45 minutes. Possible. But listen, you can't argue with me that something good's not happening here. Something wonderful is taking place. God is going to use us, and He wants us to be aware of what He's doing. So every year, about this time, second Sunday of every year, I try to cast a vision for LifeGate Church. What we believe that we are here to do this year. So that we can all get on board. And I can't share with you everything that we think we're going to do or try to do, but I can share with you a few things. And that's what we're going to do today. God wants us to have a vision. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So God wants us to have a vision. And people with vision accomplish great things. I believe God wants this church to accomplish some great things. I believe that through you and I, He's going to do some pushing back of darkness this year, right? But we need to go all out for God if we're really going to do it. So several years back, the Lord gave me 5 G's to sort of share how the nuts and the bolts work. See, our bottom line is right there. LifeGate Church reaching people and making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's the sum total of everything that we do. If what we do doesn't reach people, then we stop doing it. That's what we're all about, is reaching people and bringing them into a place where they are a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And so the nuts and the bolts of that are sort of summed up in a 5G situation. And they're sort of identified for you on these little icons I've got around here. Let me tell you what each one of those mean. There's the good news. There's the gifts. There's the gathering. There's the growing. And then there's the giving. Those are the 5 G's. And if a church is not functioning in those five G's, it cannot fulfill its redemptive purpose. Every church that we read about in the Scriptures, if they did not have those five things operating in them, they did not fulfill the redemptive purpose. The book of Revelation shows us seven churches, and out of those seven, only one of those seven really fulfilled its redemptive purpose. The other six, the Lord says, I have this against you. I don't want Him to have anything against us. I want to be a redemptive machine, a tool that God can use to go into this region and reach people and make them devoted followers of Jesus Christ, pushing darkness back out of their lives, out of their families, out of this region, and out of this whole world, the best we can possibly do. Now, I want to talk just a few minutes about these things, about these five G's, just quickly as I can. It's not my message, but I just need to touch them so you'll know what we're talking about here, okay? Five G's. First one is good news. Now, you know here, and you hear me talk about this all the time, but the word gospel really means good news. That's the literal translation of the word gospel. And we are here to go forth with the good news, or with the gospel. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus says here, well, it says of Jesus here, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news. Now, King James Version says gospel. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, leave that up just a second. What is the good news of? The kingdom. The kingdom. Nicodemus, there is a kingdom of God. And if you're born again of water and spirit, you can enter into this kingdom of God. And every answer that you'll ever need in life is within this kingdom. And good news to those people that were in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, after Jesus went about teaching the kingdom, then He went about healing all the sicknesses and the diseases. You say the good news to somebody who's sick and has a disease is healing. Am I right? Is that good? Would that be good news to somebody that's sick? That's good news. They don't need to be preached to. They need to be healed, right? That's good news. Somebody that's having financial difficulties, good news to that person is how to be prosperous. Well, guess where the answers are? They're in the kingdom. You see, somebody that's having family problem and their home is degenerating and falling apart and they're about to suffer a divorce, good news to them is that God will restore your family. Good news to a family that has a child that's in rebellion is how that child can be brought into the kingdom of God in submission to Jesus Christ. That's good news. And what we're here to do is go out there and tell people good news that Jesus Christ, if you'll come to Him and come into His kingdom, be born again of water and spirit and enter into the kingdom of God, then there are answers. There's the wisdom of God in there that will drive back darkness from your home, from your life, from your family, from this region. That's what we're here to do. Each one of us are supposed to take the good news. So if I'm going to be going all out for God, I've got to take good news to people. Jesus says this to us in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. And then He told them, you are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Every person that you know, that you come in contact with, you're to teach them good news. Everyone, everywhere. We're to tell them the good news of Jesus, and the good news is of His kingdom. This kingdom was established and set to function when He came. It's going on right now. I believe that LifeGate Church does as good at this as any church I know of. I believe that we have got a handle on this kingdom thing, and I believe that we're going out there telling people the good news of the kingdom. I believe we're doing that. Do you believe that? See, if we're going to be going all out for God, we've got to. If we're going to be a church that's going to be going all out for God, we've got to understand this thing. So that's the first one, good news. Second one is gifts. Gifts. Now, when we're talking about gifts, we're not just talking about tongues, interpretations, and prophecies, and those kinds of things that are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. That's not all we're talking about. Now, we need those things. You need those things, and we encourage those things. But there's more gifts. In Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6, it talks about grace gifts as well. Now, the grace gifts that are given us are really neat. You see, that because it's not just like you got to do these hokey-pokey spiritual things. You can function for God like in things like helps. Oh, LifeGate is a tremendous church of helps. There's things like leadership. There's things like mercy, compassion. There's things like teaching, love, forgiveness. Those are gifts that God gives to us to manifest. Those gifts got to be in a church. They've got to be in a functioning church, a church that's going to fulfill its redemptive purpose. See, people out there that are lost in sin, they need to know the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. They got to know that God's not mad at them. They got to know that God has a hope and a purpose for them, a plan for a future for them. That's what we're here to do. And so as we use our gifts, they come forth. And it doesn't mean you've got to get up here and preach like me or prophesy or talk in tongues. See, there's a story in the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. And it tells us about a woman whose name was Tabitha. It says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which were, by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. What she did is she did good stuff for people. She made clothes for people. She gave people stuff. She had alms deed. She had a gift of giving. You say, you don't have to be able to preach. It's just functioning in your gifts. When you're saved by grace, grace means something that God's given to you. It's a gift of God that you're able to bring forth. And as we go forth as a church, as we go forth as a church that Jesus Christ builds, and we go forth driving back darkness, we bring forth those gifts. And if we're not doing those things, then we're not a good church. But I believe we do those well. I believe that we encourage you to do your gifts. We try to provide for you a place to do your gifts. We try to help you hone your gifts, discover your gifts, bring your gifts forth. And that's a part of the nut and the bolts of how we reach people. See, you're going to reach people through your gifts. That's what Jesus did he not? He reached people with his gifts. So gifts are important. Gifts must be in us, and we must bring those gifts forth. Going all out for God means that we release our gifts through our church. Through the church, because it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is presented to darkness. The third one is gathering. Gathering. Now the Bible talks about two ways that we are to gather. Two ways. Now this is one way. There's a corporate gathering, but then there's a smaller group gathering so you can develop relationships and come into contact and have meals with one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we read about this. Let me read this one to you. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's corporate. They broke bread in their homes. That's homes. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts. See, there's two kinds of gatherings that you or I are supposed to do if we're going to be going all out for God. Not only are we going to go out there and teach the good news, and not only are we going to get together and bring forth our gifts, but also we've got to gather. We're all to do these things. If we're going to be going all out for God, then we need to do these things. We need to be a part of a large group and a small group. There's things that you can do in both that you can't do in the other. One, in each one that you can't do in the other one. Did I say that? Do you know what I'm talking about? You come together here and we're able to combine all of our talents and gifts and present to you all of these things that we presented. The praise and the worship and the singing and all that stuff. You see, we're not dispersed into little groups. We come together and we pool all of our stuff. We're able to have teachings like this in a place where we can come and enjoy each other's presence. But that's not all we are to do if we're going to be going all out for God. If we're going to be going all out to God, we've got to hook up with a small group. We need to develop relationships. We need to eat with one another and have meals together. We need to do things in that setting that we can't do here, such as personal ministry, such as having meals together, such as ministering deeply to one another, sitting and taking time with a person until their need is totally met. Both of those things are necessary. And if we're going to be going all out for God, and if you're going to be going all out for God this year, then you've got to do that. You need to be hooked up with both groups, a large group like this and a small group, because that's a G. That's what God has called us to do. The fourth one is growing. Growing. Now, when I talk about growing, when we talk about growing in the Lord, I'm talking about growing in the natural, growing in the spiritual like we do in the natural. If an individual stops growing in the natural, either physically or mentally, then we deem something wrong with that individual, correct? There's either something physically wrong or mentally wrong with an individual who stops maturing or growing physically. It's the same way in the spiritual. Once we come into the kingdom of God, once we're born again, we're to mature, we're to grow. We're to come into a place just like as an adult. We're to reproduce. We're to reproduce ourselves and bring forth life in the kingdom. Same thing. Now, let me read you this thing from John. Find it. John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14 says this. I have written to you children because you have known the Father. I have written to you who are mature because you know Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you who are young because you are strong with God, in God's word, living in your hearts, and you have won your battle with Satan. See, each of us are at a current level of maturity. And if we're going to be going all out for God, we've got to grow. We've got to grow. And what we do at LifeGate is we try to provide a place for you to grow, to step out and to try your gifts, to step out into maturity, a place, a safe zone, to make some mistakes if you, and we all do, but you're stepping out and you're trying to grow. You're having growing pains sometimes, but we try to provide a safe place here so that as we go forth and we drive back darkness, that we have these things going on, we have the good news for us. We have the gifts going on. We have the gathering going on. And we have the growing going on. We grow to a place we become adults, fathers, that we reproduce ourselves. So going all out for God means we grow. And then the fifth one, giving. Giving. Now, before I get into this one, I want to personally thank you. We have great givers at LifeGate Church. Great givers. We could not have accomplished all the things that we've accomplished all these years if it were not for your faithfulness in giving. And I thank you. I, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. You say the success or the failure of any ministry greatly depends upon the contributions and the giving towards it. Jesus needed giving. He had a treasurer that he needed the giving to be given to him so that he could take care of those guys. Paul needed giving. The church in Jerusalem needed giving. Every ministry needs giving. And you're limited somewhat by your giving, or you become successful by the giving of the people. Now, in the New Testament, giving is not a legalism. It is not a law. In the New Testament, giving is a picture of our heart. It's from our heart. We will never condemn you here at LifeGate. We won't allow it. We will not allow anybody to stand here and condemn people because they don't give. That's not what we do. We're here to love you and encourage you. You'll never be condemned at LifeGate Church in your giving. Because we understand that giving is a picture of the heart. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." In other words, if I look at my checkbook, I can see where my heart is. I can see what I'm giving to. I will give to what I believe. And so, at LifeGate Church, we appreciate your giving. We want you to give. We encourage you to give. And I thank you for your giving. See, I give because I really believe that LifeGate Church is put here to drive back darkness in this region. And I honestly, and I'm not boasting, and I'm not, but I don't know of another church that's doing more, or trying to do more, maybe I should say it that way, that's trying to do more than LifeGate is trying to do. We are trying our very best to drive back darkness in this whole region. We believe that's why we're here. And so I don't have a problem giving. And you can look at my checkbook and see where my heart is. Because I am absolutely convinced that the church is the hope of the world. And this is the church he has me in. Now, I just want to say this. I thank you again for your giving and your generosity. And whether you've given a little or whether you've given a lot, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you from me. Thank you from Jesus. But thank you for your giving because it determines the souls we reach. We are only limited in reaching souls by our giving. We have a plan. We want to reach them. And I want to encourage you to just give a tithe. Just a tithe. Only a tithe. If everybody would only give a tithe, then what we would be able to do is triple what we're now doing. And that's a lot. But thank you one more time before I leave this point and tell you what I want to tell you today. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the elders got together, the leadership got together, and we pulled all of our ideas on what we wanted to do this year. And so we wrote them down. We got them, and there's a bunch of them, and I'm going to share some of them with you. But we pulled them all together, and then we got together again last Thursday night, and we sort of said, okay, we need to share this one and this. And we sort of said, okay, here's what, because if I would just bore you to death, I told you everything, and we'd be here till 3 o'clock in the, you know, this afternoon. And so I want to share these things to you because I just want you to see what we really feel like we're here to do this year at LifeGate Church and share with you the vision for LifeGate Church this year. Number one is foreign missions. Foreign missions is something that we have gotten away from over the last couple of years. We used to be heavily involved in foreign missions. We were in it all the time, going all the time, supporting it all the time. But over the last couple of years, we've gotten away. We want to rekindle that again. We're to go into all the world, not just this region. We're to go into all the world. And so we want to do that. But also attached with that and along with that, what we want to do is make sure that some of our students get to go. One of the leaders said this, that there's a vast difference between the students who have experienced a foreign mission and those who have not. There is. Because that will change your life. It changes your perspective of this world. If you think every place is like America, if you think everybody lives like you, you really need to go overseas. You will really understand what people need and the need of a foreign missions from a church. So that's the first thing I want us to see. And then the second thing is a tape and a CD ministry that we're going to do. Now, what we mean here is that there are a lot of people who can't afford CDs and can't afford tapes, and they don't go to church anyplace. They have no church home, and so they receive no teaching. And so one of the elders said, what we need to do is we need to provide them CDs and tapes. And if they cannot afford a player, then we need to provide them a player. If we can get the teachings of the kingdom into their homes, their life will change. Darkness will be driven out of that home if they will at some point in time listen to the teachings of the kingdom of God. Is that a good idea? Don't you like that? So we want to do that. We want to add that to what we do. And it's already in the works, and it's already being checked into to see how we can obtain these people and how we can work all this thing through. But I think that's just a tremendous outreach. See, the bottom line is this. That's the bottom line. And we can reach people in foreign missions, and we can reach people through this kind of a tape and CD ministry. We can reach people that we can't reach right here, but we can get into their homes. We can get in their radios, and we can get in their CD players. And we can fill that house with the sound of God. Amen. Third, expanding the website. Now, the website, and I know I'm talking to some, and some I'm not talking to here. I mean, you don't know what I'm about. It's foreign. It's like Greek or something. But on our webpage, on our website, I looked this past week just to see how many people. There's a site. There's a page we can pull up that gives us all the information about our webpage. How many people are going to it, and how many people are visiting it, and where they go, and what they look at, and all this stuff. Well, this last week, I looked. It was like Thursday, I think it was, that I looked. And nearly 1,000 people, 1,000, let me say it better. Nearly 1,000 pages were viewed on our website. What does that mean? There were nearly 1,000 web hits on our website pages. Now, what this means is people go to the... I've got over 200 messages up there. What I'll do today is after I've ministered this, I'll go home, I'll upload it to the web page, and people go there. I go on and I look just to see where people are coming from. They're coming from Switzerland, other foreign nations like California. They're coming from... They're coming from everywhere. We were on there the other day, and there was somebody from Poland. And they go to the webpage, and they start searching the websites, and where they're going is the sermon page. Now, there's also music they can download, the songs that we write and sing here, they can download those things. And they're going there, and obviously it has become a resource for preachers and teachers. They're going, and they're preaching, and they're getting the messages and the things that we preach right here, and they're preaching them all over the place. Isn't that wonderful? Well, what we want to do this year is expand that another step. What we want to put is the dramas and the skits that we do here. A lot of those things we write ourselves. They write them. And what we want to do is upload those things so that a 21st century church can actually go to that webpage and get a whole service. They can not just get one message, they can download a whole series if they want to for free. They can get the music, they can play the music, they can get the skits and the dramas, and they can put together an entire service just on that one webpage. That's our desire. So we want to expand that this year so we can reach more people through the webpage and do more there. Number four, senior citizens. We want to begin something for the senior citizens that helps and ministers to senior citizens. And we need you to help us. We want a place where you guys can reach into the community and invite people here that are lonely. I believe there are some senior citizens out there that don't have a place where they get loved and cared for. They're out there, they're coal houses, and they don't have heaters, or they don't have air conditioners, and they need somebody. They're lonely, you know? Their mates died, and they're just living alone, and they're seniors, and they're hurting. And there's some that are perfectly fine, but they need to be reached as well. They're not going to church anywhere. They need to be brought in. So what we want to do is try to begin something for senior citizens so you guys can get together, you know, maybe once a month or something and go do something and go have a party, you know, or, you know, whatever you guys want to do. But provide something for you. We want to do a better job in reaching into the community and doing something for senior citizens, reaching people and making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Then, number five, same thing with the singles. There are bukus of singles who have no place to go. They're lonely, maybe have experienced broken homes, maybe are trying to raise children as singles. You know, they're hurting, and they're out there. And we need to reach for them. We need to provide something for them. Provide a place. And I've never seen one really work. I've never seen a real singles ministry, a Christian singles ministry, that really worked, you know? At least not here. But I think it's because we try to make it religious and not fun. I want to have one that's fun so that people can come to it and they can enjoy coming to it. We'll get the gospel into them. We'll tell them the good news. We'll minister to them. But let's reach for them and let's bring them in. Let's bring them to the singles. Let's bring the singles in so that we can reach into these homes as well and reach these people. Number six, visitor conscious. We need to be more first-time visitor conscious. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Visitors come in here, we're standing up, we're clapping, and they come in, they bring in their families, and if they, we start at 10 o'clock. And so they're thinking we start again at 11. Well, they're coming in, around 11 o'clock, and they can't find a place to sit. And they've got their families, and we're standing up, and they can't see where to go and sit. We've got to see this. We've got to be visitor conscious. We've got to see that when they come in this door, if it means that we got to move our family so that they can sit here, we got to move. You with me? Do you agree with that? Sure. We gotta be aware of this. We gotta see that these people are coming and they need to be touched, that they need to be reached for. So we can reach them better if we're very keen to their needs and we reach and help them sit their family and show them where the nursery is and show them where the children's ministries are and where the restrooms are and the different things and things that we have here. And let them, just take some time and be very conscious of their needs. And then number two on this same point, I want to make sure we say this, is that we do not do very well at all as far as collecting information. Now, we give them a card, but very seldom do we get a card back. And I want you to take responsibility for that. If you know the person, then go to them and try to get that card, that information for them. And if you don't know them, but you can hook up with them, you can shake their hand, say, please let me have that card. We promise you, we are not going to come knocking on your door. We're not going to bring you cookies. We're not going to try to get you to sign up with us. We're not going to bother you at all. But we would love to send you an email. We would love to send you a letter, a card. We send these things out to the homes, and we try to stay in touch. And then that way, when they do need a church, when they need a pastor, when they're going through a bad time, they'll think of us. They'll think of me. They'll call, and I'll be able to go, or you'll be able to go. But we need to be visitor conscious for these people. You agree with that? Okay. How about finish and fix? Finish and fix. Now, we start a lot of things around here, and if you know my personality, I'll get something about 80%, and I'm taking off onto something else. Well, we need to finish and fix. There's a lot of things we need to get done and finished up. We're just about done with the library. Let me tell you about the library. It's right out here. It'll be a place where we can have tapes and CDs and the books we've written and those kinds of things available out there. As you're leaving, then you'll be able to access those things and have a place where you can get them all the time. The series and all those kinds of things. Plus, I want to add in there teaching helps and study guides, Bibles, and those kinds of things as well. But also, I want to have it as a checkout place so that as we come in here and we want to just take a series home and listen to it, and we just want to check it out and bring it back. We can do that. I want to provide a reaching for people through that library in a way that we're not yet reaching them. So, we want to do that. Fix up and different things that we want to fix and make better. And then, number eight, a maintenance team. I love this one. I love this. This wasn't even my idea. I love it. But one of the elders, Doug, has talked with Jim Kittle, and we're going to put together this maintenance team so that what they do is they look around if lights are out or our doors need painting. And by the way, we need to paint the gables on that building down there. But anyway, when we find something that we need to do, we can get it done. Carpet needs cleaning or spotting, those kinds of things. Because, see, we become unaware of things when we see them consistently. They don't bother us, but the visitors see them. And so they need to be constantly fixed up so that when people come into this place, they see an excellent place. It's set up and it's fixed and all the lights are working and things look good. And so they're going to take care of that maintenance team thing for us. And I love that. Number nine, student. Our student building. It's right down here. I'm going to show you a picture in a minute. It's going to astound you. But we need to fix our student building up. We need to get in there with new carpet, sheetrocking, ceiling. We need to fix it up so that they can reach people better. So that when they reach these students and they come to that building, it is a place of excellence. I'd love to put in some ping pong tables, maybe some pool tables, just something down there that will really reach and bring students in so that they can enjoy themselves in a safe place. In a place where they can come and enjoy themselves and they can bring their friends and their buddies and we can reach more people by doing that. Okay? Now, those are some of the things. That's not all of the things, but those are the things that we felt to just talk about, take time to talk about today. Again, if we talked about everything, that would just be overwhelming. But anyway, number 10, and this is the one that I really saved for last, because this is what we really want to do, and that's our Main Street. Our Main Street, I'm going to show you some pictures before. I've got an image I'm going to show you as to where I want to be this time next year. But I'll show you that, but I just want to show you some images first as to where we have come from since 1986 and 87 when we purchased this property and what we've done with it since that particular time. And I think it'll touch you. And if you want to shout, then you go ahead and I'll shout right along with you because I think it is a picture of the redemptive aspect that God has put here to do. We're going to see a building that has been redeemed. We're going to see things that have been redeemed, and I think that's what happened. What's happened to our lives is that God has redeemed us, and He's taken something that was run down, broken down, and He's making something beautiful out of it. So let me show you a few pictures, and these are some of the. These will be the first time that some of you've seen them, but won't be the last. I promise you. The first one I want to show you is what was called the boiler room, and it was right out here, and that's the building looked like that. And we had to tear that whole thing down. And so what I did is I went out last week as I was preparing this, and I went and I stood in the same pictures that I stood and took those pictures, and I took another picture of how it looks today. So standing in that same place, looking at that same area, if you stood there and look at it today, here's what it looks like. Yeah. Is that cool? Here's another one I want you to see. Now, this one here is if you stood back there and you looked up at the building. That's the back side of the building. There's that old boiler room thing again. But that's the back of the building. Now, if you stood in that same place today and you looked at that same area, here's what it looks like. I started crying. I said, oh, man. So here's another one I want you to see. This was where you came in the entrance right out here, standing out there on Culbertson Street looking this way. That's what it looked like when we purchased this place. If you stood out there today and looked at it, here's what it looks like. Yeah. Okay. What I'm wanting you to see is what God is doing here, and the natural He's also doing in the spiritual. We are a redemptive community. See, His whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting for us to redeem this world. He's waiting for us to take what we have taken on this building and take it and make it something beautiful. To seek and to save that which was lost. And every life is that way. Here's another one I want you to see. If you stood down there towards the student building and you look back up this way, that's what it looked like in 1986 and 87. But if you went down there today and looked back up here, here's what it looked like. Isn't that cool? Now, I'll show you another one, and then we're going to get to the front. This one here is the student building. That was the student building down there when we purchased this place. And if you looked at that student building today, here's what it looks like. What I want you to see is God has done something marvelous here. And not only in the spiritual dimensions, but also in the natural. He's taking us and He's using us as a witness in this region as to what can be done if we recognize the power of the kingdom of God and how it actually drives back and works as a redemptive tool to redeem the whole world. Amen? Now, here's what I want to go to with the front. When we purchased this building in 1986 and 87, here's what, if you stood out there on Main Street and looked at it, here's what it looked like. The windows were all boarded up, and we had for sale signs all in it, and it was overgrown and kind of nasty. And if you went across the street and took a picture back this way, here's what it looked like. But if you went over there right now and looked, here's what it looks like. Now, right now, and when we did that in the late 80s, we put those awnings out there, and they were. The whole city began going awning, and then this past year, though, those things really began to fall apart, and they're nasty. And they've got mildew on them, and I can't get them clean. I had to sew them up the night that we had when we reached and we ministered last year to the crematory thing that we did here. Remember those people that had that horrible time, and we had them in here. I had to go out there that day, and it's a good thing because that's where the Fox News set up and shot right back across there. But those things had ripped and had torn, and we'd had a terrible wind. And anyway, I had gotten out there, and they're sewed up right now, but they're really in bad shape. And people ride by all the time, and they don't know that we're here. They don't know this is really a church. There's this huge sign out there, and it's out there, and it says Lifegate Church. People still don't know we're a church, and they're not sure that it's a church that they'd want to come to if they do know it's a church. And people tell me all the time, hey, I didn't know you were there. So I want to put something out there that people know that we're here. And if we're able to accomplish this year what we've accomplished in the past, what I really believe we're going to be happening when I stand here this next year at this time, here's what that front will look like. Yeah. Yeah. Place of excellence. Place where the kingdom is taught. A place where lives are changed. A place where darkness is driven back. A place where life and light is brought into homes and families, into a region, into a world. Listen, we are really doing it. I know it seems so strange that in Little Lafayette that we're touching and ministering and reaching as far as we really are able to reach. But it's astounding when I really look at it. But it's really happening. It really is happening. Jesus Christ has a vision for His church, and His church's vision is a church that pushes back hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail. His vision is a church that's always going on and always conquering and always is taking and always is driving back the forces of hell and driving back darkness and crushing every kingdom that stands in its way. Every evil kingdom is coming down. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. That's the vision that Jesus Christ has for His church. But Father God also has one for His church, and it's in Revelation chapter 21. And I asked you earlier to turn there, and I hope you're there right now. But in Revelation chapter 21, and in verse 9, the angel comes to John, and he says, "Hey, I want to show you the Lamb's wife, the bride of the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb." Now that's the church. We're told in Ephesians chapter 5 that is the church. That's the church of Jesus Christ. It's His bride. It's His Lamb. We're married to Him. We're to have an intimacy with Him. We're to have a love relationship with Him. And this is the vision that Father has. And He says, "I want to take you and I want to show you." He says, "Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And then He's next verse. "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and He showed me the great city." Now, in other words, before I lose you, I want to make certain that you get this. What He's showing him is the Lamb's wife. He's showing him the church. He's showing him the church, the bride. "He carried me and He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem." Look at this. "Descending out of heaven." Don't put the next one up there yet. "Descending out of heaven." See, what we are to do as a church is come out of a heavenly dimension, out of a place where we can't redeem the world, but we're supposed to come out of a heavenly place and come down to it so that we can redeem it, so that we can go into it and reach it and drive out darkness. We're to bring the glory of God, which is what the next verse says, "having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious and like unto a jasper stone clear as crystal." And he goes on to explain that there's a street of gold, there's walls of jasper, there's gates of pearls, there's a tree that brings life to the nations, and a river that comes out of there and flows to the nations and brings healing. And he talks about all these, that she's beautiful on all four sides. And this is a gorgeous church. This is a church that the vision of God for His church that comes out of a spiritual dimension that comes to earth and brings the glory of God. That's what we're here to do. That's what LifeGate is here to do. That's what you and I are here to do this year. Some great things God has planned for us. He wants us to go into this whole region and drive back darkness and bring the glory of God into homes and lives and families. He wants us to go forth as we've never gone forth before and accomplish things we've never accomplished before. He has a great plan for us. And so I want to encourage you this year. Sell out to God. Go all out for Him like you've never gone out before for Him. Realize that things are not getting worse. He's building a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. It is His eternal purpose. And you can get in His eternal purpose if you get locked into the church and find your gifts and your talents and those things that He's given you to do and accomplish those things. Then you become a part of that that drives back. Things will get better. Things will get better and better and better until this whole earth is filled with His glory. Understand that you are a written epistle, but also you are to go forth and tell everybody everywhere the good news. You're to manifest your gifts. You're to gather together in the homes and in the corporate gathering. You're to grow in the Lord until you come to a place that you reproduce yourself. You're to grow and mature in the Lord, and we're all growing and we're all maturing. We're to come to the place where we give. We're to come to the place where giving is a joy, not a chore. That's what God has for each of us to do this year. And if you will do that, and if you will see the vision that God has and hook up with it and begin to proclaim the good news, God will bless you in a way He's never before blessed you. He has things for you that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and neither has entered into your hearts the way God wants to bless you. But if you will do these things and hook up with these 5 G's and get a vision for the kingdom of heaven, not just LifeGate, but a vision that God has for His church coming down out of heaven, and a vision that Jesus has for His church driving back the gates of hell, if you'll do that, God will bless you in a manifested way that you can't imagine. Amen? How many of you believe that God really has something good for you to do, and you're really going to do all you can to go all out for God? Is that you there? Will you give the Lord a hand shout? And will you hallelujah! We're going to do some wonderful things. Wonderful, wonderful.